It has been said that repetition is the best teacher known to man. And in today's Daily Grace, we're going to examine a word in a chapter of the New Testament that is used 24 times, repeated 24 times within 40 verses. And that word is found in Hebrews chapter 11, and that word, of course, is faith. Faith is reused 24 times in this chapter. Clearly, the author is making it very vividly crystal clear that we are to walk by faith. Not only we as Christians, but this has been God's call to his people throughout redemptive history. We have been called to walk by faith. He begins by giving an inspired definition of faith. Verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So clearly we are to walk by faith. It is the assurance of things unseen. The unseen realities of God are something that you and I walk by daily. Because we walk by faith and not by sight, our reliance, our dependence, our hope, our purpose, our identity is tied to that which we cannot see, but what we believe is very real. Now, let's look at the context just a little bit here. Chapter 10 closes out with that famous quote from Habakkuk, chapter 2, that is also found in Galatians and most famously in Romans chapter 1, where it says, for yet in a very little while he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And then he says in verse 79, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Habakkuk the prophet wrote this, those words, at a time, in a very dark time in Israel's history. Israel had given itself over to idolatry, and God was bringing a pagan nation more wicked than Israel itself to punish Israel. Habakkuk didn't understand that, but he wondered how God could do that. But at some point, he decided to trust God, that God knew what he was doing and that he would trust God. And God gave these words to Habakkuk, that that's exactly what he needed to do, to trust. But my righteous one shall live by faith. Israel was caught up in that what they could see, idolatry, stone and wood idols. They were trusting in things they could see. They weren't trusting in the living God. So we have this call today ourselves to walk by faith. The Christian life is to walk by faith. The alternative is, in this quote from Habakkuk, is to draw back. And if we shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now, to draw back or to shrink back is to shrink to destruction. So the life of faith is not just one of many choices that we can make that will all work out well in the end. The life of faith is something that we are called to because it is the only life that leads to the preservation of the soul. It is the only way of living that pleases God. If we do anything other than that, we draw back, we shrink back, it's to destruction. Now, what would it be that we would draw back to? What would it be that we would draw back reliance upon? We would draw back into reliance upon human resources, human tradition. For instance, in Hebrews 13:4, we read, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornication and fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we may confidently say, The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? End quote. Money and sex. Those are two things that our culture values as coping mechanisms. Getting more money and being more sexual. And that in personal power. Some kind of personal power over others. Those are coping mechanisms that our culture offers us. But we are not to go there, especially in times of crises. We are to walk by faith. We are not to draw back to those things that the culture would offer us. Now, in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 11, we read, "For by it the men of old gained approval." For by faith, the men of old gained approval. We access the unseen realities of God by faith. Faith is the God-ordained means by which we are accepted by God, the means by which we enjoy God's approval. We don't gain God's approval by faith, but we do experience it. God is pleased when we walk by faith. The alternative is to walk by rules and religious traditions and other more unsavory coping mechanisms that I've just mentioned. If we don't walk by faith, we're going to end up walking by, most likely, Sabbath keeping, tithing, sacraments, dietary laws, dress codes. But ours is not in an external-based piety, whereby we seek to accrue merit or develop favor with God. Ours is a desire to please God and to experience His favor, and we do that by walking by faith. Ours is a faith-based spirituality, which wells up from the innermost being in rivers of living water, which transform our external lives, to be sure, and dictates our values and our choices and our priorities. Once again, our identity, purpose, and hope are drawn from faith, not religious duties, not religious activities, not religious associations, and not by sex, money, or power, or any other coping mechanisms that our culture would offer us. Notice the saints described in chapter 11, these people make up your ancient spiritual heritage. There's nothing that you're going through today that none of these people did not, one or more of these people did not experience as well. You share their faith, and they share yours. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah, these all died in faith. Verse 13. And they confessed while they were here that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Then we go on to read about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and the exiles from Egypt themselves. That was an act of faith to leave Egypt and follow Moses out of Egypt. We read of Rahab the harlot. These were not people who were saintly always. These were not people who were perfect pillars of moral stability. They had their weaknesses. They stumbled. They made bad choices. But ultimately, they lived a life of faith. And they earned the approval of God because of their faith. In verses 32 through 40, we read that your true family heritage goes on to include Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, he says in verse 38, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Faith has Christ as its sole object. And your true family heritage has always been by faith. Clearly, from what I just read to you, Christ himself suffered. The people of God throughout redemptive history have suffered. They have experienced persecution. They have experienced martyrdom. But yet they overcame. Not because of anything that they had within themselves, but because of faith. Faith has Christ as its sole object. We are following the faith of Jesus. We're not following faith to gain wealth, unfailing health, or happy clappy victory all the time, but the settled joy and contentment in knowing you possess the enduring riches of Christ. Faith, again, has its sole object of Christ. We are called to walk as he walked. Christ himself is your wealth, your health, your peace, your refuge, your purpose, your delight, your ability to face each and every day. Let me just close then today by reminding you what Peter says about the life of faith in 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." Beloved, what a wonderful heritage you and I share. The heritage of the people of God who throughout redemptive history have walked by faith, not by sight. And they did so to the preservation and saving of their souls.